Knock Central. It's Satya Arshaw with Israel Fair. We're coming to you live from Rogers Arena. Josh Elliott Wolf is also here. Ben Bastard is producing back at the station. And that means we can all be in the same room doing overrated, underrated. So let's get to it, boys. You send us questions, we answer them. Usually it's Dan Riccio sending it out on social media, on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. But he, of course, is on the IR with illness. Hopefully we'll be back soon. So I put the question out. We got a lot of responses. And Josh Elliott Wolf usually asks them, and he's asking them today. What's going on?
Yeah. We'll start with this one from Blue Line Bar Down. JT Miller over Ryan Kessler. Overrated or underrated?
Ooh. It's a good one.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good barroom debate, Sat.
Mm-hmm. It is a good one. And so offensively, I think it's obvious JT Miller is the better player. Defensively, it's obvious Ryan Kessler was a better player. The question is, overall, who's the better, more impactful player, and which, and what part matters the most?
I think if we're going to play, you know, the overrated, underrated part of the game, we got to say that in this equation, at this point, Ryan Kessler is underrated. Now, I'm not going to say that that means that JT Miller is overrated, but if you're, you know, you're saying we're trying to attach better offensive player, better defensive player, where do they meet in the middle? To me, the biggest quadrant is that at this point, not even just for the work he did with the Canucks, but the 3 healthy years he had with the Ducks as well. The standout from this is that Ryan Kessler is underrated.
I agree with that. And I think, you know, Ryan Kessler at the top of his game, when he was playing in 2011, when he had the 40 goals and he won the Selke Trophy, that year he was a top 10 player in the league. JT Miller is right now top 10 point scorer in the league. Is he a top 10 player in the league this year? I mean, you can craft the argument, I suppose, for it, right, with how he's played and everything that he does. Maybe on the outside of it. So maybe the peak. And I would agree with you that JT, if people think for sure JT is the better player, you're underrating how good Ryan Kessler was. They're completely different players, of course, right? I think Kessler's peak was one of the most dominant players in the league. That year, he was just incredibly dominant, not just defensively, but he's scoring 40 goals, running guys through the wall too, physically.
Yep.
I mean,
won a whole series on his own, basically, against Nashville.
Yeah.
And maybe Miller will do that. Who knows?
Yeah,
maybe against Nashville too. Kevin, JT Miller being in the heart conversation, overrated or underrated?
Da-da-da.
Heart conversation. I feel like there's a clear top four in the Hart conversation.
Yeah, I think I would say maybe overrated. Like, I think he, you know, I agree that he's underrated in the, across the league, right? I don't know if it's Hart caliber year.
No, it's got to be. Yeah, that's overrated.
Yeah, to me, like, you'd be underrated if he should be top five. I don't know if he's a top five candidate for the Hart Trophy.
Even from, like, a Canucks point of view, it feels like Hughes would get more votes than Miller.
Yeah, I mean,
agreed.
That spicy take would be that JT's been the Canucks' most valuable player, and you could craft, you know, a good argument for it if you want. I would agree that it's slightly to Quinn Hughes, but even Quinn Hughes, as we discussed the other day, like, he's not going to be a finalist for the Hart Trophy. He's not even going to be top five or six. So I'd say,
I mean, there's someone from this group that's not going to be a finalist: MacKinnon, McDavid, Matthews, Kucherov,
mm-hmm. and not to mention Panarin. Nobody's talking about Panarin and how good he's been.
And, I mean, if the Penguins make the playoffs, like, Crosby's going to get a bunch of votes, too.
And he might still finish outside the top five. And he's had an incredible season, and he would have big-time narrative street at the end of the season if he does will them into the playoffs. But it's been – this is the tightest, or at least the deepest field we've seen for the Hart.
Yeah.
Geez, as long as I can remember.
Next one is an unsigned text, kind of leads into that. Defenseman not getting Hart votes, overrated or underrated? So I guess defensemen, the lack of votes for defensemen for the Hart.
Like the way people talk about it. I think it's easy. I think it's underrated.
I agree.
Think it's hard for us and the people who vote to really figure out the impact, quote unquote, and it's why Chris Pronger did it and Bobby Orr did it and that's it. It's not a very long list, and that's, you know, you could look at Nick Lidstrom, who won the Norris a million times, but I'd be curious to see how many Hart votes he got, or if he ever even got close. It's just not the way that the award works, and so I think it's underrated in the sense that the award doesn't necessarily capture the full impact of a player.
I agree, and for the whole argument that, well, defensemen have their own award, which is the Norris Trophy. I mean, how many awards should forwards have? You have the Selke for the best defensive forward. You have the Art Ross for the most points. You have the Maurice Richard for the most goals.
Yeah.
And should the Hart Trophy be exclusive to forwards as well then?
Yeah.
I mean, how many
yeah.
awards should forwards have? There's one for goalies, and that one makes sense. Vezina, one for defensemen. So I think defensemen and goalies, as it is, are not eligible for enough votes, for enough real awards. And I know, like, there's the Lester B. Pearson
well, so
and
that,
stuff like
the,
that.
The Lindsay now, the funny thing is
Lindsay
there,
always goes
that
to the
one
trophy
gets
winner.
Voted by the players.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that like to text into these shows and say, the players know more than you guys do, so they should decide. The only time that it doesn't go to the guy who wins the Hart, it usually goes to another forward.
Yeah.
So Marcus Naslund won it.
Yeah.
Peter Forsberg won the Hart. Right? Like, it was a situation, and Daniel Sedin won it. Corey Perry won the Hart.
Right.
They're not going completely off the board and going, you know what, Chris Tanev, that's the kind of guy that, like, really holds a team together. He's going to win, like, the defensive defenseman, or even in this case, you know, we're talking about Quinn Hughes, an offensive defenseman who's going to put probably 90 points this year, and he's not getting a sniff of the Hart. Last year, there were maybe a few little conversations about Erik Karlsson, but he played on such a bad team
yeah.
that it was hard to get behind that as MVP. If he had been on a slightly better team or a team that was maybe going to sneak into the playoffs, there might have been more of an argument, but it has been the way for a long time. They get their one award, and the forwards get all the glory. They get the goals, they get the glory.
So in
it's
the
like
last
running backs back in the day.
Yeah, in the last 35 years, there have been two defensemen nominated for the Hart, one of them winning, Chris Pronger, and then the nominee before that was Ray Bourque.
Okay, so Lidstrom never a finalist.
Never a finalist.
Wow. Should have been.
That's the bar. That's tough.
Yeah. Next one comes from Paul. Healthy scratching core players before the playoffs. Overrated or underrated?
Before the playoffs?
Before the playoffs.
So are we? We're to take this as like rest?
Rest.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, underrated if you have the luxury.
Thought it was going to be like a Torts Sean Couturier situation.
No, that's the bad
thing. Gotta scratch Quinn Hughes to send the message.
Yeah. And then you lose 9 in a row afterwards. I would have to say underrated if you can, but it comes down if you're able to, right?
I'm going to say overrated in the sense that we've been talking about it a little bit this week, and it's like the Canucks need a bunch of things to go their way to even be in position to do it for the last game of the season in Winnipeg. And if it doesn't happen, it's not like we're going to go, well, they got no chance to win game one of the playoffs, right? It's
right.
A nice luxury. But we've probably spent too much time talking about the benefit, you know, like versus what the benefits of it actually are.
Next one is from Bort. Overrated, underrated. Canucks fans and media obsessing about who they will play in the first round of the playoffs. It reeks of a lack of faith in the team's ability to win.
I'd say it's still underrated. Like, matchups matter. I mean, if you think we're talking too much about it, you heard Kevin Bieksa mention it on Hockey Night in Canada back in 2011. They would have preferred to play Tampa Bay as opposed to playing the Boston Bruins, right? So I think I'd say it's still underrated. Like, matchups determine who wins. Like, matchups make fights. You know, styles make fights, mm-hmm. right? And I think oftentimes you can have a team that's not as good as the other team, but they match up better against that team in certain ways, which can help them win. So I think the matchup does matter.
Yeah, I mean, also, what else do you want us to talk about? We're here to break down the games and talk about the matchups, right? Like, there is a difference between the Canucks playing Vegas or the Canucks playing LA, and that's going to inform some of the decisions that they're going to make with their lineup when it comes to the playoffs. And look, for them, they're not in that situation. Also, part of this, I think we would be having a slightly different conversation if it was the other playoff format,
right.
If we had a 1-8. Because remember back, we were talking about sort of the similarities with this team and the West Coast Express, but it seemed like down the stretch of those seasons, every day their matchup was changing. Whoa, they're going to play St. Louis in the first round. No, they're going to play LA in the first round. They're going to play Detroit. They're going to have... It was changing all the time because of the format. So I do understand. I think maybe within this format, you could argue that trying to break down the matchups is a little overrated because we've known for 2 months now that there's only a couple of options for this team, whereas in the old format, and I've even seen some people arguing. I saw Eric Duhatchik in The Athletic had a column that they should actually just not forget the 1-8 in the conference. They should do a 1-16 and really, really go for the chaos mode.
1-16.
That'd be nuts.
Travel. Could you? But I mean,
first round matchup in Tampa, you're like, oh,
Murph's here at the Jim Robson broadcast gondola listening in.
Immediate reaction to the travel.
Would you want to do, say, Vancouver-Tampa and travel first round Vancouver to Tampa? No, no. Okay. All right. So,
2011, Chicago 7 games.
Yeah.
Nashville 6. Might as well be 7. You got to come home. And Boston 7 in the finals. So yeah. That travel was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he's right. No, Murph makes a good point. Murph wants to see it. Final word goes to Murph.
All right. Next one comes from Justin and East Van. The Connor Garland t-shirts, overrated or underrated?
Well, clearly underrated because they won and made a great bid out of it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say overrated because I think it was a good bit and we've talked about it a little bit. We are looking for things to talk about right now, but A+ for the bit and A+ for the execution after the bit. You know, both guys, the guy who's getting made fun of a little bit and the guy who orchestrated it, they both showed up to play that night. So you got to give them credit.
Well, the coach said he wants to see more of that stuff with the group. Are they that boring, Murph? That they need more spice? He says no. Not those two guys.
Yeah, they've got some personality.
Yeah. Need a Connor Garland 401st game t-shirt tonight.
Oh, yeah. It might happen.
Canucks House. Artur Shelobs. Overrated or underrated?
I'll let you take this one first.
You want me to take this one? I'm not the goaltending expert. Let's see. Overrated, underrated. Look. I'm gonna say underrated right now.
Oh wow!
I'm gonna say underrated right now. I know he's getting a lot of pub. There's a lot of hype about what not even just what he's been able to do in the NHL right now, but people projecting, hey, backup goalie next year kind of thing. So I'll give the guy some credit.
I like him a lot. I feel like he's getting overrated a little bit right now.
Slightly. I think so too. I mean, even last game against Vegas, he was pretty good, but a couple of those goals weren't great.
The first goal was not great.
And the third one wasn't great. The second one, you can't really blame him, I don't think. But the third one, at the same time, like, he's got a lot of potential. I'm like, for next year, did somebody ask another question for him that we could put together here? Somebody asked one, like, overrated, underrated, him being the backup. So I think that's underrated, like 100%.
Now that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, next year.
I'm the haters over here. This guy's getting too much attention.
No.
He's getting some NHL games. Let's give the guy some credit.
Just beat Vegas.
I think that
biggest game of the year.
And maybe I guess there's a chance he'll be the backup in the postseason, but my guess would be DeSmith's going to be the backup. DeSmith gets one more start, and this is a great way to have Shelobs be as ready as possible if you need him in the playoffs, and why not get him games while you can ahead of next year?
Woodrow, moving the Coyotes to Salt Lake City. Overrated or underrated?
Well, Izzy, you broke down some facts about the market in Salt Lake and how there's a lot of corporate money. It's a fast-growing market.
Yeah, I was stunned.
So Salt Lake guy.
Maybe it is underrated. Yeah.
There was some good quotes. Ian Mendez at The Athletic had a story that came out today, spending time with the ownership group and basically detailing why they would be an interesting market. Now, things have escalated since that story was posted this morning with, by all accounts, the league getting in a position to move the Coyotes there sooner rather than later. But there was some pretty funny stuff in the story because, yeah, Salt Lake has a reputation. They've obviously had a largely successful NBA team for a number of years, and it's in the NBA circles generally thought of as road players' least favorite place to go. You know how in NHL player polls you usually get Winnipeg, Ottawa, Edmonton. Utah's the pick, and there were a few people quoted in the story saying, hey, don't believe everything that you've heard about us. We like to drink beer, too. We like to have a good time as well. So I'm going to say, because it's come out of nowhere, I guess I'm going to have to say it's an underrated move if the NHL does pull the trigger on this one.
Well, there are always markets that grow, too, and like in over a span of a couple of decades, just like exponentially grow. You see it in the U.S. all the time, and I think the next market people are identifying is Salt Lake City. So in terms of long term, it probably is underrated. Somebody says Houston is better than Salt Lake City. Perhaps, but I'm not even sure that ownership group has been as hot on it. Like, they have been, but anytime they've been asked to really put their foot forward, they haven't. So,
well, when we were hearing that, the Rockets were really good, right? And I think that the ownership group there felt that they could do just about anything.
Right.
They were having such success with the NBA team, making conference finals, pushing the Warriors, that they must have felt that they were in a position to hey, like, yeah, let's keep growing our enterprise. I mean, we can bring that close to home. When the Canucks were in that 2010-2011 peak, we heard a lot of rumors about maybe the NBA coming back here, and that Francesco Aquilini and the Canucks ownership group was looking at Sacramento, looking at Indiana. It's a lot easier to feel good about what you've built as an organization when you're having that success. The Rockets have not been particularly good the last few years, and yet they've got a big market that is kind of easy money. They feel like they would have that built-in rivalry with the Stars, that could help things in a similar way that the league felt like having Seattle and Vancouver was going to help things. But to me, like, that's why by definition this is underrated, is that a couple of years ago, I don't think anybody would have said Salt Lake's the next place that's going to get an NHL team, and here we are.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd say consensus, maybe underrated. Although, you know, Craig Morgan on Twitter, who covers the Arizona Coyotes, says players are not excited about moving to Salt Lake City. I know that. They're not excited about it. So
that's the biggest slam dunk of the year.
Players like, why are we going from Arizona to Salt Lake?
I don't know. That's rough.
It's tough.
Alberni Sanders, the Kachina jersey, overrated or underrated? The Coyotes jersey.
Oh, underrated. It's nice.
I'm going overrated.
Yeah,
you guys think that Arthur Shelov's getting a little too much hype. That jersey gets talked about like it's the skate.
Yeah, it's not quite that good.
Also, the skate's overrated.
Skate's overrated.
He's like, everything's overrated. Yeah, I think it's under. You like it?
I like it. I like it more than the skate jersey. That's
it's
for
throwback.
Sure. I like it more than the skate jersey.
Well,
too.
To me, it's throwback to them moving to Arizona.
Yeah,
initially.
It's a Keith Kachuk, Jeremy Roenick,
Oleg Tverdovsky playing defense.
Man.
You know, Nikolai Habibulin.
Pre-Tampa.
Yeah, it's definitely better than like the burgundy jerseys they had before.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Probably overrated still. Next one is Witty Wires. Toasted versus untoasted bread for sandwiches.
Okay.
Untoasted bread for sandwiches, underrated.
Yes.
Like the new thing is like toast everything.
Yeah.
And I get it. But like sometimes like a nice fluffy sandwich.
Yeah.
That's not
the
toasted.
Fluff is key.
Yes.
A nice fresh loaf of bread, sandwich bread.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I'd say underrated.
I would say underrated too. Toasted bread is overrated. Overrated, underrated. Quinn Hughes' offensive game versus his defensive game.
Are we saying that? Okay, no. Okay, you can reset it. That gave me a brain freeze.
Let's
too.
Just do defensive game. Quinn Hughes. Quinn Hughes' defensive game. Overrated or underrated?
Oh, it's underrated, right?
Yeah, I think generally speaking, and I know I get this all the time. People DM me.
I guess I think that is what the question was.
Yeah, it was phrased weird. Texter.
I get messages too, and even on Twitter, people's being like, "Well, Quinn Hughes doesn't get hard matched against other teams' top players, and he gets sheltered." It's like, well, he's definitely not a hard match defenseman. He doesn't get up against the other team's top lines all the time, but he's not sheltered. Like, he doesn't only get offensive zone starts. He doesn't get soft minutes. Like, he gets hard minutes, but he's not a hard match type of player. So I'd say if you think he's a shutdown defenseman, then yeah, he will be overrated. But I think overall, his offensive game, his defensive game is underrated. And believe it or not, offensively, he's still underrated.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I'm also just going from the starting point that people think just because he's small, he can't defend, which somehow still exists out there as a perception. And if that's the starting point, and you haven't watched the guy play and see some of the stuff that he can do defensively.
A few more from the text line here. This one, unsigned. Overrated or underrated? The Canucks beating Vegas the way they did without Demko and without Lindholm.
Well, I mean, if we were using injuries, Vegas didn't have Stone. They didn't have
Petrangelo.
And obviously, Aiden Hill wasn't playing. So,
yeah, it's the same.
So I think it's rated. You know, like, yeah. It's rated.
It happened. It was
happened.
A game.
It was good.
And we hyped it up a lot.
It was good. And we did. I'm saying. But like I said before that game, whether they win or lose, it's not going to tell us anything really about the postseason.
But, man, when they were down 2-0 and we spent 3 hours saying this game and all this stuff, I felt like a pretty big idiot. So I was glad that off the inspiration of the Connor Garland shirts that they pulled through and then came back to make us seem slightly less idiotic.
Kevin and Port Moody, overrated, underrated. Ovechkin's second half of the season. Let's call up Dan Riccio for that.
Yeah.
It's underrated.
He's got 30 goals, man.
He's got 30.
30 goals.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Especially if we can just give Reach a little rib there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next one, overrated, underrated. We'll do either team here. LA or Vegas having to go through the Central in the playoffs.
LA having to go through, it's underrated as in how hard it is.
Yeah, the fact that like they'll have to also like if they're going to get through, they have to play two very difficult Central teams.
I don't think the Central is any easier or harder than the Pacific to get through.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? Like they have Colorado and Dallas to get through. You have Vegas and or Vancouver if you want to look at Vancouver there. I mean, say the top three teams.
Yeah, I think you would probably power rank the Central a little bit ahead of the Pacific.
Like I would rather play, I think, every team in the Pacific over Dallas or Colorado. Like Dallas and Colorado are the top two teams I wouldn't want to play.
In the whole West.
In the whole West.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I think it's pretty close though when Vegas is fully healthy and Edmonton's playing. I mean, it's tough. I think either one's really tough.
650, overrated, underrated. Carmichael from Burnaby. Aperol Spritz.
I'll say underrated.
I'll say overrated then.
Just they go down easy. It's always easy.
Never had one, so
it's just an easy.
I did notice down here in the they got a stand, an Aperol Spritz stand here at the rink now. Orange, yeah,
oh,
it's big
man.
Time. So get ready for the playoffs.
It's a big reach one. It's a big reach one.
Get pumped. 650, overrated, underrated. The background music during overrated, underrated.
I mean, I'm partial. I'll say underrated.
I like it. I'm the outsider here, but I think it's good. I'm at ease. I'm very relaxed for this segment.
He has his feet up, looking good, comfortable.
That's good. I picked it, so I'm saying underrated.
Okay.
And
good.
Another one. 650, Dunbar Lumber Texas. Oh, I lost it.
Well, this one here before, this one says, my wife in the car just asked, who the hell is the guy who said toasting bread for sandwiches is a new thing? She's very hot about it. Well, what I mean is, like, the new thing is, especially with toaster oven, what are they called?
The air fryers.
Air fryers. Yeah. Everybody toasts everything. Now everything gets toasted, and regular sandwiches get thrown in to be toasted. You go to Subway, everything's getting toasted. That's my point.
You can say not to get a toaster.
You can, but I'm just saying, like, everywhere you go now, there's a toast option for everything. And the air fryer, people toast everything in the air fryer. That's my point. I know people have been toasting bread forever, but...
It's in front of us now.
Toasting bread forever.
It's like sliced bread. How's that the greatest creation? Grab a knife and you slice it.
Toasted bread, though.
How long have people been toasting bread? Do you think toasted bread predates sliced bread?
Well, I'm sure, like, no. You know, it was...
No, you don't think so? Like, they weren't throwing it on, like, a...
On a rock?
Yeah.
Extra hot.
On a rock? On some coal?
I don't know.
Some ashes?
To make good sandwiches.
You have to figure out the history of butter or jam.
Oh, man. We'll end with this one because it's in front of us. Overrated, underrated. Billy Minor Pie.
Underrated. It looks very good.
It does look good. I'm jealous.
It's good.
It's good. So why did Dom bring you food?
So the story behind this, I believe, is John Shorthouse has never had Billy Minor Pie.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
So Dom was like, oh, you haven't had it? I'll go get you some. And so we got a whole Billy Minor cake, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So here it is.
And you've had it before, though.
I've had
you're
it.
You're not on the shorty level.
Yeah, no.
You're a little ahead of that. You're advanced.
Oh, yeah. Murph said working the keg in 1984. It's a staple. It was a staple back in the day.
That's it.
Is that it? All right. All right. Thanks for all your submissions, everybody. We appreciate your comments as well, even those that don't like us. That's fine. That's fine. It's okay. We'll have some fun again. All right. Keep your thoughts coming in. We'll get to more game day specific stuff on the other side. Canucks hosting the Arizona Coyotes. We'll hear from the head coach. Thanks for listening on Canuck Central.